Philo Torah, Hanukkah Zoom Shiur for Yom Sheni, although with Shir Shel Hayom, according to Minhag Yerushalayim, you wouldn't know it. I'll tell you what that means in a moment if you don't already know. And it's the 25th day of Kislev, as in Chanu Chafei, 5786, corresponding to December 15th. Let's say Tehillim first, and then we'll talk. Tehillim Kuf. Mizmor l'todah, hariyu l'Adonai kol ha'aretz, ivdu et Adonai b'simcha, bo'u l'fanav bir nana. De'u ki Adonai hu Elohim, hu asanu, v'lo anachnu, amo v'tzon marito. Bo'u sha'arav b'toda, chatzerotav b'tehila, hodu lo baruchu shemo, ki tov Adonai li'olam chasdo, v'ador v'odor emunato. I would say Kuf is particularly appropriate for Hanukkah. Lam natzeach mizmor leDavid ya'ancha Adonai b'yom tzara yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov yishlach ezrecha mikodesh umitzion yisadeka yizkar kol minchotecha v'yolatecha yidash nesela yiten lecha chilavavecha v'chol atzatcha yimale nirananah b'shuatecha v'shem Eloheinu nidgol yimale Adonai kol mishalotecha Atoya dati ki hoshia Adonai mishicho ya'anehu mishmei kodsho b'gvurot yeisha yimino. Elev orechev v'elev asusim v'anachnu b'shem Adonai eleheinu nazkir hema koru v'nafalu v'anachnu kamnu v'nitodad. Adonai hoshia ha'melech ya'aneinu v'yom koreinu. Kuf kaf aleph. Shir lama alot asaynai el heharim me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai usei shamayim v'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha al yonum shomerecha. Hine lo yonum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha Adonai tzilecha al yad yiminecha. Yomam ha'shemesh lo yakecha v'yoreach balayla. Adonai Yishmorcha mikol ra Yishmort nafshecha Adonai Yishmort zeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. Mark.
Misha berach avosenu Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov v'yivarech es chayaleitu v'haganah li'Yisrael v'tanshei kochus ha'bitachon ha'omedim ha'mitzva arzenu v'arei Eloheinu v'halochamim ba'adenu min ha'lebanon v'abidbar mitzrayim v'min ha'yam ha'gadol ad lo ha'arava u'cho makom sheheim v'yavasha v'avir v'yam Yitain Adonai Esha Yavinu, Hakamim Aleinu, Nirafim Lizneihem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Yishmor V'Yatzil Es Chayaleinu, Mikol Tzara V'Tzukah, Mikol Nega Machala, V'Yishlach Baracha V'Asachah, B'Kol Ma'aseh Yadayhem, Yadber Asona Einu Tachtehem, V'Atarem B'Chesar Yishua U'Ateres Nitachon, V'Kuyam Bahem Hakasu, Ki Adonai Eloheichem, Ha'olech Imasem, Lehilachem Lachem, Imo Yaveichem, Lahoshia Aschem, V'Nomar Amen.
Amen. We'll say Acheinu and have in mind the last remaining hostage body, but this goes to the people in Australia and all over the world. Every day in Rifa'enu, I've told you this before, I start with a petition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a request of God that He heals the injured in the wars and victims of anti-Semitism and terror in Israel and anywhere in the world which they are, where they are. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya ha'omedim bein bayam bein bayabasha uvein ba'avir המקום ירחם עליהם ויוציאם מצרה לירווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשעבוד לגאולה, השתא בזמן קריב ונאמר אמן. And live riut.
Amen.
Okay, I mentioned before, I just want to clarify in case you're not aware of this. Every day of the week, there is a Shir Shel Yom. Each day has its own. Shabbat has Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat. The others you could find in any Siddur at the end of Shacharit. On Rosh Chodesh, there are people who add to the regular day Shir, a special one for Rosh Chodesh, which happens to be Baruch Hinavshi Et Hashem, Perek Kuf Dalet. On Chagim, there are also special Tehillims that some people add, and same for Hanukkah. However, the Vilna Gaon, whose practices and minhagim basically set what we call Minhag Yerushalayim, and this is review. I don't know how many times I've said it in the past, but not recently. The Vilna Gaon lived at the end of the 18th century, and in Vilna, in his shul that he was the Rav, he did not change, to his opinions, various minhagim of the shul because he felt that it had a tradition for many years and years, and he didn't feel he should change it. So he had known minhagim that he theoretically explained, but they didn't change in his shul. Some of his Talmidim came on Aliyah in 1802, and they came to Yerushalayim, and they found a predominantly Sephardi community, maybe more than predominantly, almost no Ashkenazim, Sephardim, and they basically established the first Ashkenazi community in Yerushalayim. And since they were starting from scratch, they didn't feel that they needed to not follow the Graz Minhagim. So they did. And it was established as Minhag Yerushalayim. Clarification, not everybody follows Minhag Yerushalayim. And there are people outside of Yerushalayim who do follow Minhag Yerushalayim. And it's almost not fair to call it Minhag Yerushalayim. It's the Minhagim of the Gra predominantly, but it sort of became synonymous with Minhag Yerushalayim, one of which, by the way, is coming up this Friday. Friday in Yerushalayim, candle lighting is scheduled for 4:04. Minhag Yerushalayim on Erev Shabbat Chanukah is to delay candle lighting 20 minutes, and instead of shooting for 4:04 to shoot for 4:24 or thereabouts, so that when you light Hanukkah candles right before Shabbos candles, which is what you're supposed to do, they're not as far removed from sunset as they would be if you followed the regular candle lighting time. I hope I'm not confusing anybody here. You don't do this in other places unless the community accepted upon themselves a delay. But the idea is that the 40 minutes before sunset in Yerushalayim for regular Shabbos candle lighting was a hidur, a way of adding kedusha to your chol, but it's not supposed to be at the expense of consideration for another mitzvah. And therefore, many people follow this permission slash suggestion that you go back to the regular 20 minutes before Shkia, which is the norm around the world, 18, 20 minutes or thereabouts, in order to get Hanukkah candle lighting at least 20 minutes closer to sunset. One way or the other, it has to be earlier than you do the rest of the week, but it shouldn't be exaggeratedly early. And that became one of the practices that's followed. I don't have statistics, so I can make them up, 43% of the people who usually follow Minhag Yerushalayim still light Shabbos candles at 4:04, and the other 62%, I did that on purpose, goes along with a T-shirt that says "I know math." 47% of the people know it, and 65% don't know it. Anyway, so that's as far as the Shabbos is concerned. Now, another Minhag Yerushalayim, based on the Gra, based on what he understands to be the practice in the Beit HaMikdash, was that the Levim had one shir, one kapitel Tehillim, which they sang each day. And when it was a special occasion, they didn't have two or three. They just chose one. And according to Minhag Yerushalayim, when it's a regular weekday, you take the Shir Shalayom of the day. When it's Rosh Chodesh, Baruch Nafshi replaces the Shir Shalayom of the day. It's not that you say today is Tuesday, and then you also say this is Rosh Chodesh by saying that extra chapter. You only use Rosh Chodesh, in which case, according to other opinions, you're supposed to say sometime during the day, Hayom Yom Sheni. If today, well, today it works also. This morning, because it's Hanukkah, according to the Shita of the Gra, according to Minhag Yerushalayim, instead of the Shir of Monday, you say Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid. However, one thing is missing from that. If you would do it on a regular Monday, you would say Hayom Yom Sheni Bishabbat. And saying Hayom Sheni Bishabbat is a fulfillment of a mitzvah in the Torah, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho. Remember the Shabbat day and make it holy throughout the week. How do we do that during the week? We buy things for Shabbos, and whatever other preparations for Shabbos are considered remembering Shabbos to make it holy. And we say the name of the day of the week, not a name, the number, Yom Sheni B'Shabbat. Today, I and anyone else who follows Minhag Yerushalayim said only Mizmor Shir Chanukah HaBayit LeDavid. So at some point in the morning, I said, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbat. Comes to Shabbos, no, so Hanukkah overrides the regular weekday passage. Shabbos overrides Hanukkah, and you say only Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat. However, it's also Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh overrides the Shabbat Shir, which is an interesting idea by itself, because Shabbat is definitely more Kodesh than Rosh Chodesh. But the minhag is to say Baruch Nafshi Et Hashem instead of the Shabbos chapter. And Sunday would be Baruch Nafshi again, and Monday, the last day of Hanukkah, would be Mizmor Shir Chanukah HaBayit LeDavid again, which means Shabbos gets skipped, but Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat is part of Kabbalat Shabbat and it's part of Sukkot Zimran Shabbat. So we're saying it anyway. And I have a feeling that's why they went for Baruch Nafshi rather than Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat, because that you say anyway in tefillah. If that's the explanation, I'm not 100% sure, but that's the fact. That's the way it goes. Now, what I wanted to say first, so I didn't already, so I'll say it now, is something that motivates me in my teaching and learning about Hanukkah specifically, but and adds what I think to be is an important dimension to not just transmitting facts to you, but hopefully you feel a little bit of the enthusiasm that goes along with it. The word chavivut, How do you translate that well into English? Chavivut.
Niceties? Niceties? No.
What'd you call it?
Niceties.
No. Chavivut is indeed
Dearness, dearness, affinity.
Affinity. Belovedness.
Okay.
Belovedness.
Okay. There is a tremendous amount of chavivut when it comes to the mitzvah of Hanukkah, of lighting Hanukkah candles. The background to it is, according to halacha, the original halacha was mitzvat ner ish uveito. One candle. Doesn't have matter how many people you have in the house. There was no such thing as each person lighting his own. One candle per night for each of the 8 nights. Not two the second night, one candle, one candle, one candle all the way through. Somewhere early along the line came the minhag, which now is part of the requirement, of marking the number of days with the number of lights. So as we all know, we light one the first night, two the second night, three the third night. I'm not getting into now Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Maybe I will mention it because that's an interesting machloket. But that's how we do it. And it was called a mahadrin, a hidur mitzvah. That's why you have to make the bracha before you light even one candle, because once you light one candle, you've done the mitzvah, and a bracha is supposed to be before you perform the mitzvah. And then somewhere along the line, and here there was a split between the Ashkenazi world and the Sephardi world. The Sephardi world retained, I mentioned this, I think, last week, retained the concept of ner, mitzvat ner, ish uveito. They kept the ish uveito part, even though they went for not just one candle, but two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. But they still focus it for one in the household. Ashkenazim, because of chavivut, took it upon themselves that everybody lights their own. And there are all kind of halachot that have to pay attention. You put chanukiyot in front of each other at a window or something like that, and nobody's able to determine how many are lit. I always joke around by saying you have three chanukiyot on the second night, could be misread as two chanukiyot on the third night, or one and a half Chanukiot on the fourth night. That's my math joke. Anyway, so they're supposed to be separated and stuff like that. Side question, women are obligated on Ner Chanukah. Girls are encouraged to light candles, just like boys. When a woman marries, then you have a split. You have families, couples, where the wife now is yotze with her husband and doesn't light on her own. And you have many couples where the wife continues lighting on her own. Some of them will say to their husbands, "I've lit since I'm a little girl, and it continued when I was single and I was out of the house, and I continued and I continued, and I would like to continue lighting." That's fine. That comes from a chavivut, a love of this mitzvah. To me, the epitome of this is the fact that non-religious people somehow have a Pesach Seder or go to a Pesach Seder and they light Hanukkah candles. I don't know, again, statistically, you can make up your own numbers, but many, many, many more Jews light Hanukkah candles than take a lulav and an etrog or have a sukkah. And I wouldn't even know which is more, fasting on Yom Kippur or lighting Hanukkah candles, even though one is a d'oraita with a punishment of karet and the other one is a d'rabbanan. But that comes and it's motivated by the chavivut of the mitzvah. Now, I'm saying all of this now as introduction or background to details that I want to give you, because with other mitzvot, we often tend to just do them. Now, I'm not saying that right, because there are people who examine their etrogim and they go to try to find the nicest and cleanest and shapeliest etrog, and luluv and hadassim and aravot. But there is something very special about Hanukkah, about Chanukiah, that people seem to go further than they do with other mitzvot in doing it right. And this includes beautifying the mitzvah in a nice Chanukiah. Not everybody, but there are many people who have a silver Chanukiah or a crystal Chanukiah, and they see something that they like, even it's prettier. It's the same thing, candles are candles, oil is oil, but there's a way of enhancing the beauty of even the periphery of the observance of mitzvot. Larger oil cups, a nicer box to put it in when it's outdoors, all kind of different things. And I believe it's motivated by the general feeling through the generations of a chavivut for this mitzvah. Now, this shows up in, let's jump, let's not, in case I don't get to it today, I still have Wednesday to do it. One of my favorite issues is Havdalah and Hanukkah candles on Motzei Shabbat, which comes first, because you have a machloket, and it's a machloket where you feel the passion on both sides. It's not just Beit Hillel says you light 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and Beit Shammai says you light 8, 6, 7, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's more than that. It's an enthusiasm and a passion for a particular point of view, which we'll either get to today or on Wednesday, Amir Hashem. So I want to apply it now to time. I know we've discussed this in the past, including in private conversations with some of you. There are two, let's call them equally ideal times to light Hanukkah candles, and you can't do them both. It's one or the other. One of them, and it comes from the vagueness of when the sun sets. When the sun sets happens really two times. The sun setting, as I've said many times, is the body of the sun finally going down below the horizon. That moment is sunset. And that's the moment the sun leaves the sky. However, since it's still light outside, the other understanding of when the sun leaves the sky is when the sunlight leaves the sky, meaning when it gets dark, meaning when stars are visible. And that created another understanding of when the sun leaves the sky. Now, Minhag Yerushalayim, Vilna Gaon, is to light at that earlier time when the sun leaves the sky, and when the sun sets. Today in Yerushalayim, that would be around 4:42-ish. And in your places, if you're not in Yerushalayim, you have to look it up what time that is. And there are many, many people who light very seriously, not the right word I'm looking for. They're very, I don't want to say picky, but they're very insistent on lighting at that time. And then there are others who say, no, the correct time is really Tzeitat Kochavim. I mentioned in the past that presents a little bit of a problem, because there are a whole bunch of different opinions as to when stars start to come out, whether you're talking about the brightest stars or average stars or tiny stars that are just barely visible to the naked eye. Different opinions, but that's on the books. In Yerushalayim today, you either try to light at 4:42 if you favor that first opinion of Shkia, or you go for about 5 after 5, 10 after 5 at an earlier Tzeit HaKochavim. But the complication there is you're supposed to daven Ma'ariv before because of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem, and which is something I never understood because candle lighting should take priority, even though Shema in Ma'ariv is a Torah law and candle lighting for Hanukkah is only rabbinic. Hanukkah candle lighting has the element of Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle, which is defined as at least the beginning portion of the night. In fact, the argument against sunset is it's still light out. So what's a candle going to do? Who's going to see a candle when you light it at sunset? The answer is after the sun's body goes out of the sky, and obviously with clouds, things change, but that doesn't change the halacha. You can still see candles burning. And say Takochabim, certainly you can because it's dark. It isn't dark at 4:42 today, but it's enough to follow that opinion and light. Any time later, without good excuse, is second best. And it's a second best that's not very close. The longer you wait, the less ideal the lighting is. And again, I'm saying this is motivated by chavivut, or should be motivated by chavivut, not just by halacha. Because a person could say, hey, I looked it up in Shulchan Aruch. It says I could light any time at night with a bracha, with brachot. So I choose 7 o'clock, and that to me is more convenient. I'm not 100% comfortable. I'm not comfortable with someone saying, you know, I wait around. Now, if you're talking about kids coming home from school and people coming home from work, and it's not practical to do it at sunset or at the beginning of stars out, and you ask 7 o'clock, okay? 7 o'clock is okay. But there's two answers to that question. According to the halacha, 7 o'clock is okay. According to the love of the mitzvah of lighting, it's missing something. Now, again, if you have no choice, or it's very difficult, or it threatens your job, or you have to cut school or something, that takes a different look at the topic. But it's, you know, we'll get to it. We were talking, I have this in other examples. Invite people for lunch on Shabbos. So they come in and they start schmoozing. And I'm looking at the clock because I want to make sure that I have Kiddush before Chatzot, which is another issue. Doesn't seem to bother other people. And Friday night, when you come home, you're supposed to make Kiddush reasonably soon and not just hang around. Again, other factors, I can't dismiss them, but it's a matter of what value a person gives when he's looking, should I do this or should I do that? I hope I'm getting at least somewhat across here, because otherwise I should be doing other things. But I believe it very strongly. Now, what makes it even more important, in my opinion, is the Vilna Gaon. Sorry, I keep referring to him, but I'm not really sorry. Is the Vilna Gaon Shita that the time, not the ideal time, the only time to light Hanukkah candles today is the same as it was once upon a time in the time of the Gemara. If in the time of the Gemara, ad shetech tichla regel min hashuk, until people didn't abound outside, was a half an hour after stars out, the grush sita is that is the time to light Hanukkah candles. So whereas I said before that 7 o'clock would be fine, the Vilna Gaon would say, no, 7 o'clock is not fine, because it's after the Gemara's time of Ad Shetich L'Regel Min Hashuk. Now, the reason he is basically a personal opinion versus the majority who say today, with street lighting and stores open and everything else, people are around much longer than half an hour after stars out. The Vilna Gaon would say, yeah, but that's not the issue. The issue is this was fixed at the time of the Gemara and we keep it. Everybody else says, no, it's Ad Shetich L'Regel Min Hashuk evolved into a much, much later time. And therefore, you don't have to be restricted to that first half hour after dark. Furthermore, yes, furthermore, since for a long, long time, until fairly recently, Hanukkah candles came out of the street back into the home. Let's make this clear. Once upon a time, the only place for Hanukkah candles was at your front door or the front of your courtyard if it wasn't visible to other people from your front door. And there was no lighting inside your home. Inside your home, lighting is a phenomenon that developed mostly in Europe when weather conditions, and worse, neighbors drove it indoors. You can be subject to vandalism and worse if you continue lighting outdoors, and it became more internal. Now, we grew up, those of us from the States, and I'm sure in England as well, lighting at the windowsill so that it could be seen by the streets was a compromise from lighting it outside or bringing it inside. You have to bring it inside because of conditions, so at least make it a little bit public by putting by a windowsill. But there were places where they couldn't even do that. They would get a rock thrown through the window. So it became close the Venetian blinds or the curtains or whatever else you had and light with nobody outside being able to see it at all. But because there were so many centuries of lighting indoors, the focus on publicizing the miracles externally faded and became more of an internal mitzvah. You gather the family around, and if you have guests, they come too, and you sing shiur and you light together. And it was no longer, in many, many places, something that was meant for outdoors. But now, in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim especially, where people went back to lighting at the door. So I just wanted to show you, among other things, the background here. See this Chanukiah? Can you see my finger pointing there? Or just I see it? Okay. That and that. This one is outside my front door of my apartment. On right up to the doorpost, opposite the mezuzah. The mezuzah is on this doorpost. And I light the Hanukkah candles on this doorpost. And it means that when you walk through the door, in or out, you're walking not just next to the mezuzah, but you're walking between the mitzvot of mezuzah and Hanukkah candles. And that has a high priority for location. Also, I don't know if you could tell from the picture here, but it's on the low down side, which is below 10 tfachim, which is another detail, which originally was where it was supposed to be lit, rather than higher up where you would put lighting for the purpose of lighting. Here you have lights for the purpose of just seeing them. But if it would be higher up, it would be like illuminating the hallway or whatever.
Recording in progress.
Okay, now the alternative to that is here. This is the other side of my mirpeset from the street. That's a wall below my mirpeset. Does not say Le'ilui Nishmat Shlomo Ben Meir Zichrono Livracha. That's today's dedication in memory of Susan's father, whose 32nd yahrzeit is today. And I gave her priority for that because it's today, even though my father's yahrzeit is tonight, the second candle. Anyway, last year I had it a little bit higher up, accessible from my mirpeset on the inside, but it was facing the street, which I considered to be maximum exposure to passers-by. This one at my front door, maybe two or three people will see it. And this one, dozens and dozens of people who pass by will see it in the course of the night. This year, in the meantime, since last year, we planted stuff on the mirpeset that's no longer accessible. So I bring a little step stool outside, stand up, and I light there as soon as I finish lighting there. Now, I wrote this with these pictures to Rabbi Breidowitz and said, here are my two options. I do them both. I wanted to know which one do I say the brachot on, which one do I light first? And he said, counterintuitively, it's the one near the door. Why counterintuitively? Because Pirsume Nisa is a major feature of lighting. And this one outdoors has much, much more publicizing of the miracle than this one next to my front door. He said, notwithstanding that, it seems from what he's learned that this is the one that should get the brachot, and it did. In addition to my wife lighting on the kitchen windowsill, which is to another exposure. And last night we had my sister-in-law lit in another room and grandson lit in the living room. So that's the story. I would appreciate if anyone has comments or questions that anything that I said stimulated. Let me know now before I continue other things. Susan, you have to unmute yourself if you're moving your lips.
Sorry. It was a question about what you said about Kiddush, making Kiddush like pretty soon when you get home from shul. You should do it pretty soon after you come home from shul. We're talking about Friday night.
Yeah.
I haven't heard this before, and I'm very interested because what happens when you invite 10 people for dinner and you don't want, and Shabbos is in so early, you don't particularly want to have people sitting around for 2 hours till you eat dinner because it's too early to eat dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Let me look more into it.
Okay.
I have to look, not, I'm convinced that there's a priority, I guess. See, here we got to be very careful. There could be a priority. Let me give you my mushel first. There's a race of a 100-meter dash. The winner comes across at 9.35 seconds. A person second comes in at 9.36. 1/100th of a second slower. That's very, very close. Very, very close. They needed to check the cameras and the referees to determine who won the race. It was so close. You can have a different kind of race with two people, and that same winner goes in 10 seconds, and the other guy trips halfway down the path and crawls because he sprained his ankle, crawls across the finish line. And if it was a two-person race, he came in second also at 10 minutes. Big difference. So when you fine-tune certain halachic things, you have to, you personally or people before us, have to fine-tune to say how after the fact, bidyeved, is a second opinion. If it's close, then there are factors that can override them very easily, like waiting for company, like it's really too early to start eating now. I'm just using the example because that's what you asked about. There are sometimes, if Sofzman Kriyat Shema is 9:03 in the morning, then 9:03 is when you should be finished Shema and not 9:04. And, but there are plenty of other things. Let's use candlelighting. Candlelighting, if you're waiting for your spouse, who's going to be 10, 15, 20 minutes, even a half an hour later, then the normative halacha is, even though you should have lit at X, it's proper to wait. Now, you don't wait till 11 o'clock at night, but you could wait until 5:30, 5:45. So it's a judgment call when there are factors. That's why I kept saying before, if you're going to be thrown out of school or lose your job or not be able to leave early on Fridays when it's a halachic issue of Shabbat because you left early on Hanukkah and your boss says, oh, these Jews, it's more of a chutzlaritz thing, look for every excuse to leave early, then you don't. I mean, there are ways to handle those situations. There's the ability to light Hanukkah candles with a shaliach. I'm using now that example, not the Kiddush example. And those are sometimes preferable to doing it yourself later. Guy calls up a rav and he says, here's my two choices. I could not get home till 11 o'clock. Should I wait and light at 11 o'clock on Hanukkah? Or should I ask my wife or my son or daughter above the age of mitzvot to have me in mind when they light at 5 o'clock? And I'm sure the answer will be, do it with a shlichut of somebody in your house. But if you say, I won't get home till 5:30, and they're going to light at 5, should they wait for me? Maybe not, if they light their own. My whole childhood was like that, not with Shkia, but with Tzeit HaKochavim. My father pretty much always came an hour and a half after the time that the rest of us lit. We asked his permission, and he said, on condition that when I come home and light, you gather around with me also. And I think that's a very nice compromise. It allowed him to light when he came home, and it allowed us not to be delayed when we didn't have to be delayed. But it depends on how single-minded you are, or are you willing to look at other factors? So there are some compromises that we can't make, and there are some compromises that we preferably shouldn't have to make, and there are other compromises where it's considered fine to make them. I'll give you a totally different example because it came up here in the house. Somebody asked, Ashkenazi woman, her daughter, Ashkenaziya, married a Sephardi. and takes on Svardi Minhagim and practices. Now, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but let's say you have a plata on Shabbat, and Shabbat morning, you go to the fridge, and there is a meatloaf with no gravy and no liquid. You put it on the plata to warm up. And there is stuffed cabbage in a gravy, which you can't put on the plata. But Sfardim do. Sfardim will put food with liquid. Ashkenazim, at a certain point, won't. Question: if your daughter married a Sfardi and she follows Sfardi practices, can you eat that which she heats up because she's following accepted Sfardi practice? And the answer is yes. Yes. If something was done against halacha, you can't benefit from that. But if it was done within the normal guidelines of halachic practice, even if you don't do it, then you could do it. Now, that's important. Does Shalom Bayit get in here? Yeah. Does Lechatchila versus Bidyeved get in here? Little. But these are Piskei Halacha that already exist. And you either look them up, or a Rav tells you, the Mishnah Berurah said this, Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata said that, or ChatGPT says this. And you know how to behave. Now, it's very important to know when you're a guest in somebody's house. I mean, the example I was using is a mother in her daughter's house. But you have it as a regular guest, a friend. And the people follow different practices, which are legitimate. It's just not what you do in most cases. I'm saying that just to be safer. You follow that unless it's something that's clearly in violation of halacha. So if you're at a Seder table with somebody and they offer you apple for karpas, you have to say, no, thank you. Do you have a piece of celery? But if they offer you a potato or cucumber and that's all they have, you could do it. It's within halachic guidelines. It's not your favorite. You like potato, or you like celery, or you like parsley, but you have to know. And a lot has to do with interpersonal situations. But interpersonal situations will not necessarily allow you to violate halacha, but they will be flexible when it comes to something that is an accepted practice. My mind is thinking of Heter Mechira during Shemitah, but that's a different issue, maybe. And
Bill, I have another question.
Yeah.
If that's okay. I'm Samech on Danny lighting. I don't light my own menorah, but one night this week I will be out of town at candle lighting, and I won't be home till very late. Do I have to find another menorah and light it somewhere, or can I just? He's
I
my
shaliach. You ask Danny to have you in mind, which he does every night anyway. And whether you're present or not, whether you answer amen to his bracha or not, you're still yotze.
Mm-hmm. I don't have to give him a shekel or anything, or should I? Or
in the case of husband and wife, I don't think that's necessary because you have a joint account or something. If you had totally separate finances, he could give it to you as a gift. And this idea of contributing a shekel, I don't know why people insist on that, because if the person says, here, this is a gift, then it's yours. And that's what we do with Lulav and Esrog. I bought a Lulav and Esrog. You wanted a bench on mine. I have to give it to you on the first day as yours. Otherwise, you can't use it on the first day.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else at the moment? Let's continue. Judy looked like she was raising her hand. Yeah, Judy.
I'm sorry, I had food in my mouth. I didn't want to interrupt, but I was in Shaw this morning and I saw that they missed out a Yom Yom Sheni.
Right. Yes, yes,
but
yes.
now I know why.
Good.
They went straight to Shir Hanukkah to buy it.
Okay, they follow Minhag Yerushalayim.
I never knew that. I mean, first time I've come across that.
That's why you attend Shiurim. Or otherwise.
No, that's why I should have shouted downstairs. Didn't you miss out saying it? But obviously I didn't, so glad I didn't.
Yeah. But you should say Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbat, as I said. And that's the Ramban who we follow. Now, there's another contributing factor to the chavivut of the mitzvah. Lighting of candles is less a mitzvah in and of itself. It is. I don't mean to say it isn't. But more significantly, it was the acknowledgement, maybe there's a better word, the acknowledgement of all the things that were restored to B'nai Yisrael at the time within Eretz Yisrael and the kingdom of Achashverosh. Sorry, I'm mixing it up. The kingdom, the Eretz Yisrael. That means that lighting the candles is a reminder and a recognition that we could keep Shabbos again in public without fear. We could have Brit Milah without fear. The calendar can be returned by the Sanhedrin. And Torah can be learned in public and all the mitzvot. In other words, it's packed with much, much more. Again, let's compare it or contrast it to Lulav and Esrog. Lulav and Esrog has a symbolic meaning, and maybe two symbolic meanings or even 5 or 10 symbolic meanings. But in and of itself, they are the objects of a mitzvah. Chanukah candles are much more than a mitzvah because they say we can do all of those things again. Judaism was saved, and as a result of the Chanukah miracles, we were able to do Torah and mitzvot without fear in public. That's why there's such an emphasis on Pirsumei Nisa. And to me, you know, it sounds obvious. If it's an 8-day holiday, one of the days has to be Shabbos, and sometimes two. But the Shabbos Chanukah, or the two Shabbatot Chanukah, say to the Greeks, ha-ha, you don't exist anymore. We exist and are thriving. And we are keeping every single Shabbos of what you wanted to get rid of for us. And the way Hanukkah is organized, at least one day and sometimes 2 days are Rosh Chodesh. And we say to the Greeks, you don't exist anymore. Yes, how come we're saying it to them? And we have a calendar. And it's a Jewish calendar, and it keeps us distinct, and we're proud of it. And you try to take that away from us. And this year, which is not rare, we're talking 28% or 28.03%, 28% of years, there's a Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah, and that brings them together to make the point even stronger. It's not like Rosh Chodesh is there and Shabbos is there or vice versa. Same day. And that's why I would love to be witness to a Brit Milah on Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat Chanukah, because that would bring maximum energy and reminder of the main things that the Yevanim tried to take away from us, all on the same day. I got close. Got a call from my brother yesterday, that early yesterday morning, which was Sunday already. His granddaughter gave birth. So we have a brit next Sunday, Amir Tzashem. Missed it by Shabbos one day, but it's on Rosh Chodesh, and I'm sure somebody, if not my brother, is going to make a point of that. I find it very significant. So that's these things. And that's why I'm also, I try to make sure that there's a Dvar Torah at latke eating time after candle lighting time or at the candle lighting, because these are things that we were able to do. That's what the lighting symbolizes. So it should have that. Always reminds me of a guy from one of the NCSY advisors who was supervising at a convention, and he sees a whole bunch of kids from one region not going to a shir to practice their regional song. So he listens to their regional song. We love Torah and we learn Torah every day. Dun -dun 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 -dun. And yet they cut a shir in order to practice the song. Kind of weird. So that's why we should, bring that element of Torah and the reminder of Shabbat and the reminder of Chodesh and Brit Milah and everything else into our observance of Hanukkah. So on that note, I will wish you a Freilich in Hanukkah, also known in Hebrew as Chanukkah Sameach, or in English, Happy Hanukkah. And see you, Amir Tzashem, on Wednesday. And now it's already 4 o'clock, which means 4:42 for those who follow sunset in Yerushalayim. And not too long after that for everyone. So light well and sing well and feel it.
And Arichas Yomim for Susan.
Thank you.